Good evening, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 77. On this week's show, we have a Disney Love Ballads bracket tournament coming for you. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining us via Skype in left position is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And from the Main Street Gazette is Ryan P. Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, head on over to meitravel.com. Becky and her team can take care of you in the best way. And of course, get your names on the list for our Halloween Horror Nights event that's going to be happening later this year from October 29th to the 31st. Big announcement coming in the next week or so towards that, and space will be limited. So head on over there. Get your room, single room necessary, meitravel.com. Right now, you are listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogomix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We are on Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. Add yourself to the group. Add your friends to the group. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play Music. And you can stream across all your devices over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, what's the Instagram address?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
And Ryan, where can everyone find the Main Street Gazette across the various outlets?
They can find us at mainstgazette.com as the site. And Instagram, it's mainstgazette. Same thing on Twitter. Facebook, you search for Main Street Gazette, and you can find us there, because I always like to keep my audience riveted.
It's so simple, you sissy Marys! All right. This week we have another bracket. This must have been brought up from a suggestion, right?
I think we talked about it after we did the hero-villain bracket.
All right.
We said love ballads for Valentine's, because, you know.
Oh, that's right. Next week is Valentine's Day. Brian's giving me the Illuminati sign over at the Skype. So, yeah, man. All right. Jay-Z, what's up?
It's Illuminati.
Brian, tell me about ballads.
They're ballady. They're tales of love.
Now, we kind of... That's actually... You bring up a good point by accident.
That's not an accident. That was completely on purpose.
We are including ballads that are not just between like two love interests, though, like classical love interests. We kind of go beyond that, true?
Yes.
Yes.
How so?
Go ahead, Mel. Go ahead. You look like you wanna jump at the, you're biting at the bit.
Well, it's like it could also be a love between a mother and child, or a love between a person and a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they love.
Yeah. So we're going beyond that. It's like, you know, mother daughter relationships. We even have mother son relationships. We have you know, your classical kind of princess prince setups in here as well. All that thing. We took a lot of different aims at this. I'm sorry?
Child and toy.
A child and its toy, yeah. The most depressing song on this list.
Yeah.
Which, in a list with Baby Mine, if you're still the most depressing song, you know Sarah McLachlan's involved. So, you know, sad picture of puppy in your head right now. You all know what I'm talking about, because it is awful. So, we have a seating system, but Ryan, kind of explain how, like, even though we did break these up into seeds, we really sort of didn't. We just used it as a fashion in which to build the bracket.
Yeah, so we started looking at it, and we ended up with 23 songs, which would not pare us down to a winner versus all kind of thing. So we took the 16, kind of put them in there, took the 23, put them chronologically, and then tried to pair them with a song close to it for now 7 play-in songs to get us to 16, so that when we pare it down, we end up, we go from 16 to 8 to 4 to 2, and then we have our winner.
Yeah, so actually, and we added a couple of songs literally just now based on a couple of comments when I said that this is what we were going to do this week, in particular Darby O'Gill. We didn't involve a lot of live-action films in here. And look, I know that there's going to be a song that someone somewhere is like, how did this not get involved? Take a second and wonder if it was going to actually win, and then wonder how important it was to actually have it if we missed one. You know, but we tried to reach into the bag a couple of times, and we did pull out Sean Connery. So, I mean, that's a thing. We also pulled out Mel Gibson. So that's even more impressive, in my opinion.
But we did find out he didn't sing the version.
He did not sing the version, which is, you know what? I don't care. I don't. The internet's wrong. He sang. Mel Gibson can do it all. Also, I'm putting my odds on him winning Best Director this year because of the story.
What was it for?
Hack Ridge, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan Ridge.
Right, okay.
Ho! War. So let's do the prelims. Now, we have how many prelims? 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7. We have 7 prelims.
7, yep.
So we have 7 prelims to see who gets into our Sweet 16. And when...
We should have just done 16 and 16 at this point. I'm sure we could have found 2 more.
That's, you know what? That's a good point. I never thought of that.
I just
But
counted
we also,
now.
We added 2 brackets just
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. It's okay. It's cleaner this way. At least I'll tell myself that.
Okay.
Yes.
So our first prelim is going to be from Nightmare Before Christmas, Jack and Sally, which is performed by Danny Elfman and Catherine O'Hara. Did Catherine O'Hara actually sing her part? Because I know that the voice actor for Jack didn't sing. Danny Elfman did. He's got that.
No, I believe she did.
Okay. So it's Jack and Sally versus Can You Feel the Love Tonight, featuring not Matthew Broderick. We have Joseph Williams, Sally Dworsky, Nathan Lane, Ernie Sabella. And wasn't there another one? Or was that it?
It's just the 2 of them.
Only be 4 people in this song, unless someone else was singing like just a backup choral thing. So Lion King, basically, versus Nightmare Before Christmas. Jack and Sally versus Can You Feel the Love Tonight? So why don't we dive into this one right away, because then we'll set up our main bracket. Brian, why don't I start with you? Jack and Sally, a very short track, maybe, what, 1.5 minutes? A little over 1.5 minutes? Only occurs at the very end of the film. And Can You Feel the Love Tonight, you know, made extremely popular by the Elton John version, may have won Best Song that year? I don't remember. Where do you lean on this one?
On this one, I like a lot of the songs from Nightmare Before Christmas, but this one is not one of my favorites. And I would lean to Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King on this one.
Brian, I can't feel the love tonight. Your love.
Well, that's because you're in Florida and I'm in New York.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Was that it?
A couple of...
Next week! Be back
next week.
Back home for a little while. Melissa.
Yes.
What about you? Jack and Sally versus Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Now, if we're going iconic love ballads, I always think of, there's like 4 or 5 classic ones that I think of, and Can You Feel the Love Tonight is up there. It's, you know, the boy, girl, meet cute, whole bit. I don't know. I really like it.
Yeah. Lion, lioness. Yeah.
Yeah. Lion, lioness. Boy, girl, boy, girl.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Ryan Wilson.
You know, this is one of those battles I don't have a strong opinion on one way or the other, but Can You Feel the Love Tonight was one of the songs that immediately popped into my head when we started discussing this. So for that, I'm going to go with that one.
And I'll make it a clean sweep. I absolutely adore Jack and Sally, but it's a perfect length. It doesn't need to be any more, but Can You Feel the Love Tonight is sort of an epic one. That's one of the
That's good work.
I mean,
for
again,
it.
Please understand, the seedings do not matter here. So we weren't saying, like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight needed to earn its way in here. We were just trying to keep films of the same era against each other. So maybe towards the end we have a classic versus a modern. So if the bracketing looks weird, that's really, really the main reason behind that. It's not like Can You Feel the Love Tonight had to get on the bubble to get into this tournament. So very well done, everybody. That was nice and clean. Like it. Stops. Next up is some 90s ass pop song. Let me tell you.
It's a good song.
I will admit I had never heard the song If I Never Knew You from Pocahontas until 15 minutes ago. I had never known that John Cicada was still a... I guess he's not really still a thing.
Was?
That wasn't the 90s. Yeah, he was a thing in the 90s.
So we learned some stuff. So If I Never Knew You from Pocahontas, the film version was cut. That would have been by Judy Kuhn and... Mel Gibson. That was cut from the original version, but then put into the extended version, correct?
The anniversary?
Yes. Right?
Anniversary version,
The 10th anniversary special edition.
And the track pop song by John Cicada and Shawnees, that was a thing.
It's a good thing.
That had a video and stuff. Sweet little song. That is going up against Love is an Open Door, one of the more modern releases, very recent, from Frozen. Kristen Bell is Anna and Santino Fontana as Hans. What a name.
That is a fantastic name.
Yes.
It's a villain name.
Mel, I'll let you open this up because you were very excited about one of these songs, actually, and I had never even heard you refer to it ever before in the past.
I think it just comes from that era of movies where, they, like you said with Can You Feel Love Tonight, it's like an epic love song. So, like, when I think of that song, like, you get the 90s belting and you get the 90s, you know, breakdown. So, I don't know. I love If I Never Knew You. It can definitely make me tear up if I'm in the car singing along.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was totally unaware of that song until today. Ryan Wilson, where are you on Love is an Open Door against If I Never Knew You?
I love the playfulness of Love is an Open Door. I love being able to sing it with my wife in the car when we're, you know, on a road trip. I'm not going to go against it on this versus a Pocahontas song that I barely remembered 15 minutes ago.
Brian Bogan.
Well, we all know I have a strong affinity for Pocahontas, but actually, I do remember. This song did not strike me either until we were just talking about it and Mel brought it up. But I do remember liking it in the 90s. But I liked a lot of things in the 90s. So I don't know. Oh man, remember those? I don't know if they're called Skids pants.
Skids.
Or was that what they were? Remember those? Those were a thing too. Yeah,
yep, we were pretty dumb.
We were real dumb.
Yeah, we had some awful fashion sense in the 90s. It was, I mean, it's embarrassing. It's looking back, you're like, there's a lot of Boss sweatshirts.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember Stallone wearing a Boss sweatshirt in Rocky IV, and like I had to have one. Yeah. It was also covered in Apollo's
high school
blood.
Pictures, and I'm like, oh my god, what the hell was wrong with us?
It's pretty bad. We were pretty dumb.
But that being said, it's a nice song, but I agree with Ryan. I just love the playfulness and the fun of "Love Is an Open Door." That is the song that I will choose to overtake Pocahontas.
Okay,
he betrays her though. It's like a heartbreaking song. There's no love there.
Well, that's because it's an open door, and then it gets shut right in her face, which I'm a shut the face.
But if I never knew you, I would never have known
how
wonderful life could be.
You would have, because there's billions of people on Earth, and you would have found someone else you would get along with.
We'll get along, but love.
Yeah, I'm sure. You've been in love before, right?
I don't know.
We're not getting into this. Love is an Open Door. I actually really like Love is an Open Door. I think it's an adorable track. The playfulness and the loving nod and acknowledged nod to Arrested Development
sandwiches
is one of my favorite things. Yeah, that line, finish each other's sandwiches, that's originally from an episode of Arrested Development. And the writers of the song verified, like, yes, we did that as a direct nod. Yeah. Much like the initial short that came out for Frozen was a direct nod to another one that they later lost a lawsuit against. Okay, nods and copyright. Always a tricky area. Coming up next is two of my favorite songs. This is going to be really tough for me.
Oh, yeah.
Hercules, I Won't Say I'm in Love, sung by Susan Egan, or Egon. It isn't Egon, but I wish it was. And I think she's Egon's daughter. That's, of course, Meg. She also voices a couple of things in Studio Ghibli flicks also. She is...
Meg.
What's her name in Spirited Away? Do you remember?
Oh, no.
I don't remember
her
name.
I'm bad at those things.
And going up against You'll Be in My Heart, this is, of course, from Tarzan, Phil Collins, also sung by Glenn Close. You can use either one because they're both from the movie. And that was sung by Kala, you know, as his mother. And Won't Say I'm in Love versus You'll Be in My Heart. Two songs I genuinely love. Like, that's why I'm not going to go first. I'm going to let Brian Bogat go first.
I agree. This is a really tough one because I do love both of these songs. But I feel more of a pull towards the Phil Collins, You'll Be in My Heart. That's one of those songs that kind of gets me a little, like, you know, emotional when I hear it. And I mean, the guy did Sussudio, so
dude, I swear to God, I was just about to say the man wrote Sussudio.
Yes, I can't go against him. So there, yeah.
Melissa, how about you?
I Won't Say I'm in Love.
Yes,
I love that song. I love Hercules. I love Meg. I love the Muses.
Oh, Nutmeg.
Little Nutmeg. I love this song.
Man, this is gonna be rough. Ryan Wilson, where are you going?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I love how Susan Egan just belts her heart out in this, like, that, you know, that one line where she's like, "Lay off my case," and just, I mean, you feel it from her gut.
That's,
I'm like,
really,
yes, that feeling right there. Bring that back in this song. So I'm gonna go with "I Won't Say I'm in Love."
Man, oh man, could have our first tie right from the beginning.
Do we have a tiebreaker person?
No, I do not.
Oh, damn it.
I really should have thought about that. Keep forgetting there's only four of us.
Wonder if I can make a burn.
You want to get in touch with Steph?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, tell that your kid's in quarantine, so she's probably able to answer the phone. All right, this is if we go to a tiebreaker. I'm gonna really try to science this. You'll be in my there was a great quote, but it was one of the guys from They Might Be Giants. This is an actual thing. And roughly his quote was, "I think that most of the music that Phil Collins made should be thrown into the ocean, but You'll Be in My Heart is a gorgeous song." So even he, I can't remember the cat's name, which it was from that, but I remember that quote. I also thought it was really dick kind of quote. But anyways, I love that song. I think it's one of the simplest songs on this list. It doesn't get overproduced at all. In either version, then the video version at the end, that's a whole different thing. But there is really something awesome about when I Won't Say I'm in Love. I love the animation of it, the direction of that whole scene. And I really think it gives so much to that character. It's not just like some sweet words where like anyone could pretty much sing You'll Be in My Heart and it works, which is great. But the Won't Say I'm in Love, that is such a Meg character song. And I think that's why I'm going to give it that edge, just because it makes her such a more interesting character and really shows the conflict within her, like a Sith Lord. So I'm going to go with Won't Say I'm in Love, which actually will push it over the edge, and it defeats You'll Be in My Heart, which won an Oscar over Blame Canada for South Park. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why they made fun of Phil Collins a lot the next year.
Okay. And that so makes a lot more sense.
Makes now, a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, we have... What do we have here? Oh, we have... This is an interesting one. When you think of love ballad, you would assume someone be singing, right? Well, not here, because we have Married Life, which appears in the movie Up, which, of course, is that heartbreaking sequence where you learn about the relationship of Carl and Ellie. through nothing but music and images. And that is up against Into the Open Air from
Brave.
From Brave. I always forget. From Brave, sung by Julia Foulis. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. I had to look up this one to remember it, and it's quite a gorgeous song, actually. I really think it was. It's a really nice song. It's a little, you know, it's a mother-daughter love song. Not that kind of love. But it's a nice little thing that they popped in there. But if I may, I'll cast my vote first. Married Life is going to be tough to beat for me. That little piano sling, you know, that little slinky intro is just unbelievable. And it kind of ruins me just from hearing those first couple of notes. So my vote is going to go towards Married Life. And that's all I got to say about that. Ryan Wilson, how about you, sir?
So I'll be really honest. I'm going to go towards Brave. But I have – there is a very personal piece to Married Life with me and my wife that I – you know, it's a story for another day. But I have not been able to hear this song, and I have not been able to watch this movie in a year. And so I was, and so for me, immediately I think of Brave, and I go that way.
Okay, I want to hear that tale when you're ready to tell it.
There will be, yeah. There's a day.
Okay. Who wants to go first, Brian or Melissa? Raise your hand. Jesus, Brian,
she didn't
you
move,
win.
So yeah,
wow, she didn't move. It's like
I'm sorry, I was confirming with our tiebreaker that they'll be around if need be.
Oh, good, good, excellent. So she is around.
I'm confirming.
Okay. Brian Bogad, Married Life versus Into the Open Air.
Well, I will confirm that I'm going to go with Married Life also. Like you guys have said, that section just like wrecks me every time. There's I tried to watch it just to watch it because I listened to all the songs and I had to turn it off halfway through. I'm like, I can't watch the rest of this. But it's so simple, but it's beautiful. And the way it just tells the story with just that simple music and the images is, it's amazing. It's heart-wrenching. You get everything in that little 3 minute, whatever, you know, 2 or 3 minute scene. And that's the one I'm going to go with.
Melissa, four notes of Married Life. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Versus Into the Open Air.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even remember this was a song in Brave. I couldn't even remember the portion, but just hearing those four notes, I instantly know what movie I'm in, even picturing in my mind, you know, just the scenes of them, you know, climbing up the hill or her, you know, all the clouds turning into babies. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I got to go with Married Life.
In your head movies.
In my head movie.
All right. So Married Life wins that one over Into the Open Air. And we still have three more prelims. Wow. So next coming up, we have two, I would say, seminal classics going up against each other. We have Lady and the Tramp, Bella Notte, versus Ichabod's Katrina. Ah, Katrina. I'm going to have an accent now. That's really weird, actually. Bing Crosby going in and out of that accent is kind of strange. And I'm still not sure why he does it. I just assume he's drunk. Bella Notte versus Katrina. Ryan Wilson, people may say that me and you have an obsession.
They may say that.
They may. They may be correct. with Ichabod, the tale of Ichabod, everything that goes on in that movie, pretty much from start to finish.
Agreed.
But when put up against Bella Notte, where do you cast your vote?
You know, I thought about this one long and hard because I was like, we're going to get into dangerous territory again where somehow a dark horse runs the tables on us. Bella Notte is such a classic. I mean, it's the scene you think of. It's one of the most romantic scenes in a Disney movie to feature two dogs. it's, you know, the whole scene carries through that evening. It's a lovely, we talked about when we reviewed it. I'm going to go with Bella Notte.
Melissa, how about you?
Same. I mean, if you're talking about classic love song,
we are.
I definitely think Bella Notte takes the meatball.
What was that?
He takes the meatball.
Okay. Well, I hope none of our family ever hears this.
They don't listen.
Sal, if you're listening, I am so sorry for what just happened. I have no excuse, and I will kill her later. Brian Bogad. Dogs versus the Irish? Who wins? Well,
he's Irish?
I don't know. He's got the accent. Again, Bing Crosby does the accent.
Bing Crosby does what he wants.
Yeah,
Bing Crosby does what he wants.
It's like, it's not the script. Bing's like, blah, 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 boom, shut your mouth. Okay, Brian, I'm sorry.
Just to make this interesting so that you have to make the final decision, I'm going to go with Katrina from Ichabod. Bellanotte is the classic love song, but I just, yeah, I'm going to go with that because I want to put you on the
hot seat.
Hot stove. Yes.
You know what? I love Ichabod. You know I do. I love this track, but Bellanotte is Bellanotte.
All right, good. Yeah, that's right.
There's no fight there. I can't with good conscience, because then if I ever picked like Ichabod for anything again, it would seem like I'm just picking it to pick it. I feel just like this would be like the towing the line on that. So keeping with the Irish though. Remember that time when Sean Connery was in a musical?
Nope.
Sean Connery doesn't probably. We have in our next prelim, we have Pretty Irish Girl from Darby O'Gill and the Little People, a movie that we will, just so if anyone's wondering, St. Paddy's Day, we're going to do it that week. We're going to do a review on Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Guess what? It's awesome. Pretty Irish Girl versus maybe the number two most emotional song on this list when it comes to, like, you know, gut punch. Mrs. Jumbo singing Baby Mine in Dumbo. If I can go first on this one, I danced with my mother to Baby Mine at my wedding. It was a trick by me, actually. I told her there was another song because I didn't want her to know it was going to be Baby Mine because I knew she would give me harshness over that. But I just think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever done, and that is where I cast my vote. Who wants to go next? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
I do remember when she smacked you for that. It was pretty awesome.
Yes. Ryan Wilson.
All right. We've clearly documented my love of Maureen O'Hara from Darby O'Gill. There's also a version where she sings part of this song in the movie.
Actually, wasn't this
Janet
Monroe?
Plus you have Sean Connery. You put those two together. I'm not going to go against Pretty Irish Girl. And then you also – to me, Baby Mine – just when I hear it, it's so emotional, but it's almost more of a lullaby. Just in my, you know, how I listen to it.
That's a good point.
So for those two, I'm going to go for Pretty Irish Girl.
Wasn't it Janet Monroe in
Yes, I don't know why I said Maureen O'Hara.
Because she's been in like everything that we've seen recently, that's why.
Yes, and I just barely pulled a name out of, you know, the air to throw that out there. Yes, Janet Monroe.
Man, you know what? You put up a good argument on that one.
Are you switching your votes?
I don't know if I am.
Going to the other side.
I mean, we can still say it's a love, you know, mother's love for a son.
Yeah.
It is. We established that way earlier. Just the romantic love.
Melissa, how about you?
I've never watched Darby O'Gill, so I've never heard this song. So that's where, like, my blind spot's going to be. I know we just listened to it, and it was fun. It was catchy and stuff.
It is really catchy.
Yeah, I don't have a connection with it. And Baby Mine does pull at the heartstrings. So since we got rid of Tarzan, I'll keep Baby Mine in for that mother love, mother and son
bond. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. I see that. Brian Bogad, you could cause a tie. Actually, most likely every fourth person could most likely cause a tie. But anyways, where are you with Baby Mine versus Sean Connery?
I mean, Sean Connery is Sean Connery.
He really is, though.
but Baby Mine is also a personal one for me, and one that hits me, you know, in my past and everything, and in my life.
Feels.
It's been a song that's that I've have real emotions attached to. So I'm gonna have to go with Baby Mine also.
Okay. Ever since that person locked up your mother, and she swung you from a prison.
She did.
I remember that day. I laughed.
You remember? Yes.
Because I locked her up.
I like need to hear everybody's emotional stories now. It's really good.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of emotional baggage that we need to unload. One of these. We just need a cry. We just need a good crying episode, I think, is what it's going to come down to.
That'll have to be a lost episode. We'll record that and never put it out for any of us.
Right.
That'll be our April Fool episode.
All right, so Baby Mine knocks down the power of Bond, but he shall return. Bond shall return in a couple of weeks, I guess, about a month.
Yep.
A little over, yep. Well, a month and a half or something.
Month.
So when's St. Patrick's Day?
The 17th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're a little early, but
we're
yeah.
a little early. Valentine's we're right Day, around there.
St. Patrick's Day, close.
Yeah. So in our final prelim, wow, prelims, we have Love.
Two more that I don't know.
We have Love from Robin Hood, which was actually sung by Nancy Adams and was also used in The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Awesome.
Points. That's points right there. Going up against Candle on the Water, sung by Helen Reddy as Nora from Peach Dragon, the original 77 version of 1977, I believe, yes. was the release date. Ryan Wilson, I feel that this is a very this is like your bracket. This one, like I don't know why, but I feel like this is your bracket.
That's actually fair. I was actually looking at it, going, "Well, crap! I love them both."
Yeah.
there is a great part with the, it's a great scene in Robin Hood, and we kind of lead into some other songs. It's just it's a wonderful love between song between Robin and Marian. But there is something about Helen Reddy sitting on that lighthouse, like singing to what she believes is her dead fiance out there in the sea, like trying to call him home. So I'm going to go with Candle on the Water.
Okay. Brian Bogad, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with Love from Robin Hood. Peach Dragon I've seen, but I haven't watched it in a long time, but Robin Hood is a movie that I watch every so often, like I'd say at least once a year. I pop that on, and it's just a beautiful song, and that's the one I'm gonna pick for this matchup.
Just recently picked up Robin Hood. We just added it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the Rescuers.
And the Rescuers.
For the Rescuers too. Yeah. Because they were on sale for like really cheap for $14.
I believe each at Best Buy.
Yeah,
they had a bunch of Disney DVDs. For me, I don't have really any strong connection to either of these songs, but there is a really cool haunting quality to "Candle on the Water" that sort of just sat with me just an extra second longer than "Love." Although I do like the animation in "Love," that slow push-in shot of the close-up of Marion's eyes—it's actually really, really nice in a film that gets guff because there's a lot of reused animation in it. I think it shows that if they weren't using those cost-cutting corners, I think that there may have been even more kind of artistic interest maybe tossed into it. Still a good movie, I think, but I think that it would have benefited from not, you know, being in the age of when it was produced. It wasn't the animator's fault or anything. That's what they were told to do. But I'm actually going to go with Candle on the Water. Because I like haunting songs. I do. I really do. There's something about those. Melissa, how about you?
I'm in trouble because I don't know Candle on the Water. I listened to it, mm-hmm. and it was okay, but I don't know. I guess I don't have that connection that, like, Ryan has with, like, and I don't know. It didn't feel haunting to me. It just felt kind of there.
Okay.
I never knew you.
There's no John Cicada.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You put in those cicadas? 90s.
John Cicadas.
Cicada.
Not Cicada.
John cicadas. Made of cicadas.
Cicada, cicada. Potato, potato.
He kind of sounds like cicadas in the yard in the summertime.
Hey-o. That was a good song.
So where does your vote fall? Love?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Have a tie.
I feel like it's kind of like meh.
It's got to be one or the other, man.
I know. I opt out now.
She's going to write in it. She's going to write one in.
No.
So?
Can I put If I Never Knew You here?
Silence. Stick with the thing.
Having a hard time. I don't know.
Are you abstaining? Are you abstaining?
Yeah.
From the
you
vote?
Know what? I will allow you to abstain. Can each abstain on one vote, okay?
Ooh. Okay.
We're turning into the Congress. You can abstain on one vote.
No, I'm not going to abstain. I'll make my vote, but then I'll go to a tiebreaker because I don't know.
Brilliant.
Or do you not want to do that?
No.
It's time consuming.
No. It's not time consuming because I can hit pause. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to go to a tiebreaker on love versus candle on the water.
I'm going to go to Steph on this because I know Steph has definitely seen Peach Dragon.
Yes. She's literally seen dragons. It's because she does mescaline.
Unlike Jungle Book.
Unlike Jungle Book. Love the stage show. Never saw the movie. Well, until recent though.
Yeah. After the show was done, she had to get her fixed somewhere, so she tried.
So, all right. So, while we do that, we are going to go to whom? Our sponsors. Be back in a minute, guys, with your answers. Or not, with Steph's answer. Conclusions. Sponsor. Now. Oh, why, hello there. There's... fancy meeting you here in the ad world. Where's everyone else? I sent them into a cornfield. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. It's lovely there. Let's talk about movie posters. Let's talk about movie posters that I love collecting. All of them. Congratulations. We've talked about movie posters now. Let's talk about the toughest thing about movie posters, though. Good frames. Good frames are hard to find. Just like a good man, evidently. I don't know. Maybe. Good woman. Those two. If you are like me, and you love poster art, you love any kind of art that you want to hang up on a wall that requires a frame, a photo of your family, even a really large photo of your family, why don't you head over to spotlightdisplays.com. You can also find them on Twitter at posterframes, posterframes. And if you use the code LASTGEN, LASTGEN, you can get 10% off your order of these awesome front-loading movie poster frames. They come in various sizes, but some of the ones that are very important, 27x41, 18x24, 24x36, 12x36, 16x20, just a number of different options for you for anything that you have that you want to hang up on the wall. And the best thing about them is they are so easily reusable because, as I said before, the front-loading, they click open. And then you can just take out the poster that's in there, put in a new one, put up the UV protective overlay that you have there. It's acid-free also, so you don't have to worry about it damaging the color of your poster. And it keeps it safe from sunlight, which is the biggest thing that could destroy the color and just the beautiful pop that you get in these awesome posters that I'm hoping you're buying also. I do a lot of Mondo purchases, Cyclops, and I just have a ton of old-school movie posters that I, well, stole from a movie theater. You know what? Statute of limitations ran out on those things, I think. Don't tell the cops. But head on over, spotlightdisplays.com. I am a customer first over there. I absolutely love their product. I think it is ingenious and it is cost effective. No more spending $250-something on a single frame from these overly expensive brick and mortar stores. Head on over, spotlightdisplays.com. You can find great frames for under $90. Some of them under $70, and you can make everything look pretty in your house. So head on over, spotlightdisplays.com, also on Twitter, at posterframes. Last gen code, 10% off. Enjoy. Now, back to the show. And we're back. Thank you, Ad. You were lovely. We'll see you again soon. So we have a tiebreaker has been chosen in the love versus candle on the water. Melissa, who did you get in touch with and what did they pick so they can send hate mail?
I got in contact with Steph and she went with Candle on the Water from Peach Dragon.
Candle on the Water defeating whatever it was up. Love.
The only short title in this.
Yeah, we learned today that most love ballads have extremely long titles.
Most of them are like a sentence.
Because they're just trying to get everything out right in the title. They're going to just put it all out there on Front Street. Sorry, Brian, Robin Hood falls in the first round. But sorry. You can look gazingly into my eyes. Mm-hmm. And then you'll live forever. That's what Gozer told me. All right, so now we are down to what you would say is our final bracket, 16 songs. And, oh, just as a note, I know that normally when I do this stuff, I like putting in clips of songs. Unfortunately, with my travel schedule this week, I won't have the time to do it, so hum it to yourself. And if you don't know the song, YouTube is amazing with not having copyright laws. So off you go if you have any issues with any song maybe you're not familiar with.
And then you can watch that amazing If I Never Knew You video.
Yeah, actually, you probably should watch that video and then remember that that was around the same time that we let Milli Vanilli win awards. So.
Was it?
Yeah, that was.
I thought Milli Vanilli was earlier.
I don't know.
Couple years, don't worry.
It's all
Too Legit to Quit was a hit song by Hammer.
Yeah.
So you know what? We were again dark times. Okay. First matchup is deadly.
Yeah.
Deadly.
This is really
now we were just saying. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Made it through the prelim versus Jack and Sally, and who does it face? But Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. This is the film version, not the pop song version. At least that's the one I'm kind of basing it on. So this is all Angela Lansbury up in here, making things happen.
Either way is good.
Either way is good, yeah. Peebo Bryson and Celine Dion, is that right? Man, yes. These are people's names that I haven't had to say in a long time. Peebo Bryson. Peebo.
That's probably the first time you've ever said it out loud.
That's true.
Yes.
While conscious, yes. I'm sure while asleep, I yell it out every couple of moments. But
that's why I couldn't sleep last night.
Yeah, well, Ghost of Peebo Bryson haunts me. So Beauty and the Beast versus Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Ryan Wilson, why don't you go first on this? Because
because you got to throw somebody under the bus? Yeah, that's fine. You know, especially that I was singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight's praises, Beauty and the Beast is just that classic love song in I think it's something that we all think of to the point where, you know, Lilo and Stitch spoofed it when they did their trailers. It's a great song. We're hearing it again because the movie's coming out. You know, we have the live action coming. I just can't go against Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast gets a vote. Melissa, next.
This is really difficult. I'm going to say that a lot tonight also.
Yep.
Because these are like the two epitome of 90s era Disney love ballad classics. I love Angela Lansbury though, and her the softness with which she delivers the lines she's just so gentle.
She's no choice when you're 98.
She's not that old.
She is now. So Beauty and the Beast? Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Brian Bogad.
It's hard.
Brian Bogad.
I won't pull any punches. Beauty and the Beast. I just like Melissa was saying, Angela Lansbury's version of it is just it's really fantastic. And she sings it so she sounds so, you know, just the way she delivers it, it's very like vulnerable, and it's just it's my favorite version of the song. Not that Peebo Bryson does not knock it out of the park, because the man does. But and I love Can You Feel the Love Tonight also, but Beauty and the Beast is going to get my vote.
Can you feel you lost tonight? Yeah, no, Beauty and the Beast. It's a tough choice, but ultimately not really too much for me. I'm a much larger fan of Beauty and the Beast and the music in there than of Lion King. That's not a knock against Lion King. Just a compliment that hard towards Beauty and the Beast. You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys right now. That movie, the live action one, I'm 50-50 right now. There's something weird.
You nervous?
No, not nervous, because it's not going to affect my life at all. There's something weird about those trailers. There's something off about the way that they've use the motion posters. Now, again, we've had this conversation many a times. Disney's promo department, marketing department, you would think they have the cream of the crop, but it does not feel that way ever. Marvel, on the other hand, their marketing is phenomenal. But I just don't feel the marketing out of Disney, again, is doing this film. I don't think it needs any favors. Like, people are going to show up no matter what. But there's something off about the tone. I don't know.
I was not a fan of those moving posters at all.
Those
I didn't think any of them looked good at all.
No, those look terrible. And there's something stilted about the footage that I've seen so far.
Do you think it's just because in what they're showing you, like they're just showing you stuff that mirrors the animated so much that they're not letting the flow of the movie?
Absolutely. I'm sure there's a million things. I'm not saying that it's going to be bad because I don't like the trailers also.
No, I know. We know that.
I want to be clear on that. I'm not saying that. There's just something weird about it. Anyways, Beauty and the Beast wins. Moving on. Jeez.
I had everybody's tiebreaker set up for that.
Way to get us off track, Melissa. Good job.
That was her fault. Yeah. Coming up next, we have
the
prelim
comments on this.
Huh?
What? Go ahead.
We have the prelim winner of "Love Is an Open Door" going up against another more modern track in "I Can See the Light." What's that? What are you doing with your hands? Making a heart. Okay,
hearts.
Sure. This is sung by Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi, or Levi Jeans. And, of course, it's from Tangled. So I'm actually going to go to Melissa first on this one because I think you're going to have trouble picking. I don't know, actually. What do you want to go with on this one?
No, I got to go with I Can See the Light. This one also, every time it's on in the car, I tear up. It's heartbreaking.
You know what? You probably shouldn't listen to music while driving because you're just going to kill somebody.
That's also true. This is why I listen to podcasts now. This one, it's so heart-wrenching and beautiful. And the imagery that goes along with it in the film is also really great. Mm-hmm, that scene with the lanterns is beautiful. So, yeah, I Can See the Light.
Ryan Wilson.
Yeah, I'm going to mirror what Melissa said. The imagery is great. The song, the story, there's really two stories being told there where you have both characters really figuring out who they are in this song and how they work together. And it's just I just love that song. And, you know, as much as I love the playfulness of Love Is an Open Door, like this definitely tugs at the heartstrings.
Brian Bogad.
Love Is an Open Door is the one I'm going to go with. I just, like we have said, I like the playfulness of it. I like the fact that she's like she's so naive.
Yeah, and she is.
You know what I mean? And it's just, when you see what happens later on in the movie, it's like a little heartbreaking with that. But it's just such a fun song, and it's one that does not make me cry. So that's a good thing, because, you know. I can listen to this in the car. This is a driving approved song.
All right.
But the song from Tangled is great also. I mean, it is. It's a lovely song and everything. It's a lovely song. But
fascism.
I really like Love Is an Open Door.
One of the person I know and love very dearly, my friend Gina, she is not one for emotions a lot of times. I remember showing her the scene of At Last I See the Light, or I Can See the Light. Exactly.
I can see the light.
And she's also not like, I wouldn't say she's a huge Disney person. Like, she enjoys their films, but not like a huge. And she was like, wow, is this what they're doing nowadays? This is, you know, like, she was blown away. And I think it is absolutely one of the best sequences animation wise that they've done. The lanterns thing has become kind of a real part of like Disney iconography. I think that scene. Mm. And I love Love Is an Open Door because of, like, Brian, what you were saying, it's a song that gets a payoff. Like, that doesn't usually happen. Like, a song doesn't get a different version of it when you're done with the movie. And you're like, oh, wow, that's kind of twisted. Like, that's pretty messed up. So it gets full marks for me from that. I really, really like it. I think that has a lot of fun animation gags in it, too. But I'm going to go with I Can See the Light on this one. Having it advance towards the next pillar as I get further away from the microphone because I have to write.
I have no problems with that. That's a great song, too.
So See the Light wins over Love Is an Open Door. Shut case. Ah! All right, next. Oh, good Lord. This is not fun. This is not fun, this one. This is actually two songs that might be on the polar opposite of the universe. Any song almost with this one. So on the top portion of the bracket, we have Sarah McLachlan ruining lives with When She Loved Me from Toy Story 2, when we learn about Jesse's background, and going up against the prelim winner, Won't Say I'm in Love by Megara from Hercules. Woof. Woof. This is two very, very different tracks. And actually, I'll go first on this one. I adore When She Loved Me. I think it is just one of the sweetest damn songs ever written. And very few moments in, like, you know, movies like that, a song comes in and you're like, what's going on? And I mean, you know, Toy Story has some music to it, of course. You know, it has, a, you know, Friend in Me and stuff. But this song comes out of left field, but fits so incredibly well and is so perfectly emotionally manipulating. It is just absolutely great. I mean, it can fight with Married Life when it comes to emotional input. So I'm actually going to go with When She Loved Me. Ryan Wilson, how about you?
Yeah, I think you're right on every point. It hits you in the gut. It doesn't let go. It makes you cry. It's a fantastic song.
But
thinking of love ballads and thinking of I love Meg and I love that song. So I'm going to give it to I won't say I'm in love.
All right. Brian Bogad.
I agree with you on basically every point. You said most of the things that I was going to say is that song just kind of comes out of left field. You're not expecting that in Toy Story 2 to hit you like it does. And it is just, it's a heartbreaking song. It's a beautiful song. And I love the Meg song. I won't say I'm in love. Again, that to me, that's kind of, and it's not, I mean, it's not a fun song, but it's more like a little bit more of like a playful love song.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. You know, so, but I have to go with oh my God, I just blanked on the name of the song. When She Loved Me, yes.
Melissa, I have a feeling we're going to be going to the phones in a moment here.
We are, because I agree. I love When She Loved Me. It is heartbreaking, but I can only stand depressing love so much. So I'm also like more in tune with Meg, that feeling of fighting it till the very last moment, you know, not wanting to admit your feelings and, you know, deal with them. And I just, I love the five muses in it, you know, as backup singers.
All right. So we do have a tie. We are going to go to the phones. I believe we're calling in Brittany on this one, your sister.
Yes. Going with my sister.
She has
said those are like my two songs. So we're also putting her in like a spot.
Well, good. Then it means that whoever wins earns it then. As long as that's even better. I think it's a perfect situation. Man, Sarah McLachlan really has a hold on this whole horrible life thing.
Yeah, she's got that genre.
Yeah, she's got that lockdown.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if FYE had a section that just said sad, it would just be, you know, Sarah McLachlan vinyls. Do we have an answer yet? Oh, I think she's typing right now.
She is.
Guys, I wonder what you would pick right now. Oh, audience, my audience. I wonder what you would go with.
I can't wait to see the comments.
I think they go with Toy Story. I think they'd go with.
Yeah, you think that the majority would go with Toy Story? I feel like it might win. I think it would if I put it to a large vote.
Yeah, I think so.
I do kind of feel like it would go that way. And I believe we have an answer now.
We do. She says, "Won't Say I'm in Love" for gospel backups.
All right. "Won't Say I'm in Love" wins. And I don't know if it's an upset, but this might be a dark horse. I think it's got a good path.
You say that.
You say that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this next one. So Won't Say I'm in Love advances to the next round. In our next bracket, we have our first and only appearance, because we always do only one per, of Princess and the Frog with Mabel Evangeline, of course, sung by the legendary Jim Cummings, up against Michael Giacchino's four-note orchestra beauty, Married Life. Ryan, I'm going to go to you on this one first, because I was curious of your answer before. Like, that got me interested now.
Yeah.
So this one is going towards Mabel Evangeline, and where do you think that your vote would fall?
You know, I do, as much as I need to put personal pieces aside, I love this, you know, anything Michael Giacchino does, but the music of Princess and the Frog from beginning to end is just so perfect.
It's really good.
And to get a love song that's not tying to either one of your main characters, that, you know, yes, they're in the scene, but you're actually, you know, you're getting a sidekick's love song is just fantastic. So I'm going to give it to Mabel Evangeline.
That's a good point. This is a love song sung by one person, but actually applies to four different characters. I'll include a star as a character.
Sure.
I mean, literally acts later on in the film, so why not? Man. I love Princess and the Frog. Everyone knows I love, and I know that intro that I just said gives away my answer. I love Princess and the Frog. I never noticed, you know what? I didn't notice until just now that our two main characters don't have a love theme. It just doesn't exist. It exists through Ray, which is really, really clever and kind of really, really cool. But Married Life is married. It's just perfect. It's a perfect thing right now. It's going to have tough competition later on for me, but for right now, I'm going to go with Married Life in this one. Melissa, how about you?
As much as I love Married Life, I think I'm going to go with My Belle Evangeline, because cool. I do like how Ryan was saying, it's like the sidekick's love song, and you don't get that ever, really. And I really like how heartbroken he sounds, but like so just wistful. Mm-hmm. And the end when, you know, they twinkle in the sky together, it's a good payoff to be like, you know, he wasn't just singing to a star, like it was like they're together now.
Brian Bogad?
Everyone brings up really good points. Especially I never really thought about that with Princess of the Frog until Ryan just, you know, had brought that up. And I love all the music in that movie. I really do. Like, I champion that movie at every turn that mm-hmm. I can to anybody. But I'm going to have to go with Married Life also. That, when I just think of like love, it's that scene, it's that song. I can hear it I can just hear it in my head, and that is one of the most magical portions of any Disney movie that I've ever seen. That Married Life piece. Anybody that I've ever shown that movie to, they like immediately just, I remember I watched it with my family, and there was six adults just sitting on the couch bawling like idiots.
Yeah.
At that point. So I'm going to have to go with Married Life.
Happened with us at a Comic-Con. I'll always remember we saw the first 45 minutes or so of Up, I don't know, 8-9 months before it came out. At Comic-Con, we were like, all right, the poster's got like a bird, old man, and a kid. Like, this is going to be funny. And then they played the movie, the first 45 minutes. And a room, an auditorium full of people were just weeping openly.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming Pete Doctor was just twirling his mustache in the back and like just loving it. Like, oh, it works.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, if you don't know that that's coming, that hits you and you're like, wow. But when you know that it's coming because you've seen it tons of times and it still just leaves me, you know, in tears,
I love how they play with the tempo of it. Like when it's, you know, fun, happy times, it's, you know, upbeat. And then like towards the end, it's just that slow. It's the same notes, but they're just slower. And that's what gets me, you know, with it.
And you know what else? You know, going towards My Belle Evangeline, because obviously we have a tie. So we're going to the phones right now. Mabel Evangeline also has a really good payoff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the film almost does it close on them? I feel like it does. Doesn't the camera kind of pan up and the last thing that we see is the two stars?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of incredible. You know, again, like taking those background characters or background character and making them such a vital point to the climax of the film and the romance portion of the film is quite amazing. So for this tiebreaker, we went to our Mary Poppins guest, Shauneen. So, Melissa, what did Shauneen say? Was she able to come to a decision?
Not yet. She's asking me about rules.
Oh, my God.
Because, no, she did. She did want to clarify. And I told her, you know, how we had done it. She asked, you know, if it's just a song or the visuals, too. And I feel like we have done that with visuals as part of the song. So I said she can go with both.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we're overall, we are a movie podcast.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost impossible not to factor in the visuals.
And that's why, like, some of those ones early on were hard.
That's why John Cicada doesn't win. Cicada, whatever his name is.
Cicada, Cicada. Well, that was why, like, I had a hard time with the Pete's Dragon one, because I'd never seen it in the movie. And that's also why I like I Can See the Light, because I love the visual of the lanterns.
One of the nicer 3D scenes also that Disney has ever done.
Okay, she's got it.
All right,
we
have an answer.
Evangeline is delightful and fun, but Up, the mailbox scene. I have to give it to Up if it's about true love. And that was hard.
True love. Mawied. Mawage is the reason we are gathered here today. Love. True love. All right, so Married Life wins. Married. I put down Married Love because I said the word love out loud. All right, that's what happens when you're writing and saying things that are different at the same time. Do you ever get really sleepy in school, but you keep trying to take notes, but then you read them later and you're like, what is this?
That was in my entire college, yeah.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, this is gibberish. What am I trying to tell myself?
Yeah, it was like 95 degrees in the office today, and I was like falling asleep at my desk, and I don't even know what I did. I had to redo the entire case. I spent like 20 minutes doing something, and I don't remember anything.
Sorry, sir.
I blacked out.
Your benefits have been halted. Why? Sleepiness.
Sleepiness.
Okay, moving on. We have, two classics. Two classics.
Oh, God. Yeah, really?
Eileen Woods singing So This Is Love, along with Bill Shirley. Don't do it.
Wait, what?
No? Is it not? No. I'm sorry. That's Mary Costaland. I don't think that. All right. The Prince does sing in it, though, but I don't remember his name. Don't worry about it. No one remembers the Prince. Bum. What a bum.
Barely
get a job,
had a
sir.
Name.
But he was charming.
He was. Jesus. Well, yes. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. Give that man a cigar. All right. So This Is Love is going to go up against the prelim winner, Bella Notte. Really, two absolute staple Disney tracks. Brian Bogart, how about you open Silo on this one?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
This one is rough.
Make it smooth.
Make
it smooth.
Oh, make it all.
God.
I'm going to.
For all you Ice Cube fans out there.
There's stories for that for everybody. Yeah. From when me and Pete first met each other. So I'm going to I think I'll go with Bella Notte from Lady and the Tramp.
Ooh, Bella Notte.
That is the one that sticks with me, and the one that if I think of the two of them, that's the first one that pops into my head.
Very cool. I cannot think of a movie more deserving of a better restaurant in Walt Disney World than Lady and the Tramp. Oh, my dear Lord, somebody stop those people.
When Olive Garden is a better Italian restaurant.
My dude, preach.
Yeah.
Ryan Wilson, Cinderella or Lady and the Tramp? So we have So Is This Love? So This Is Love?
So This Is Love.
The more questioning version.
Baby, don't hurt me.
So Is This
don't
Love?
Hurt me. No more.
Yes.
Oh, Brian.
What's up, Hathaway? I actually said Hathaway's name out loud. It sounded like calling Candyman. You say it three times and the mirror appears behind you. But so I actually said Hathaway's name a couple of days ago. This is the second time now. That's the third time. Beetlejuice. All right. Ryan, where do you want to go with So This Is Love versus
there's nowhere to go but down from there, isn't there? I don't understand. You know what? Honestly, these are the first two Disney movies I can remember watching as a child. And so that's trying to figure out like the childhood component to this. But as much as I love Cinderella, and it's a great story, when I think of romance, it's Bella Notte. Like, it's just such that brilliant classic scene. So I'm going to give it to Bella Notte.
Melissa, where do you want to go? Actually, I'll go next. I'm going to put the pressure on you then.
Okay. Well, I already have my answer.
Okay. I'm going to go with So This Is Love. I love that song. I really love Bella Notte also. But there is something about Eileen Woods' voice that kind of wins me over. And it's just the animation in that scene. It's just like a dream sequence. It's really like a dream sequence. And I do like when two characters are singing a song, but then actually singing it. That sing over kind of aspect that we've had. So I'm going to cast my vote for Cinderella. Melissa.
Same as Eileen Wood and Mike Douglas.
Not Michael Douglas.
No, Mike.
No. He wasn't even born then. Kirk Douglas was, though. He was.
That would have been cool.
Kirk Douglas was making babies.
Yeah, I got to go with So This Is Love.
We have a tie.
We do.
So This Is Love tied. You know what? Okay. Next time we do this, we got to get a fifth person.
Well, okay. I actually have.
This was, you know, we never had this many ties before.
No.
But it's stupid that we don't think to have a fifth person on during these, because it's really dumb that we don't have a fifth person on these. So what do we have there? Did you go to multiple sources?
I did.
Good. Did they tie also?
They did.
Oh, come on. All right, so...
So Brittany went for So This Is Love, but then Tonin got back to me like a split second later and said Bella Notte. So really, it's up to Steph. She's just got to
Steph
answer
Moser?
Her phone.
Steph Moser can't be put in this kind of a position. It's too much pressure.
Cannot be trusted.
Okay, so it was up to Steph, and she said So This Is Love.
So This Is Love.
She says she's a sucker for Cinderella.
A sucker for Cinderella. So This Is Love topples Bella Notte, but in a seven-person vote.
I'm also just glad I got a lot of girls with me. It's like,
no,
feels
it's good.
Well balanced.
It's good. It's good. And honestly, next time we do this, we're going to get a second female voice when we do the next brackety thing. So going brackety thing.
It's a technical term.
That's the official term.
Yeah.
The next one down, we have Dumbo's Baby Mine, which won in the prelims, going up against Snow White. Someday, should it be I'm Wishing?
No, it's two different songs, isn't it?
Yes, I know that. Which should be the song?
No, it should be Someday My Prince Will Come.
Yeah,
okay, I just want to make sure. All right, so Someday My Prince Will Come, or as we discussed, if you just take out the my, it's Someday Prince Will Come. And then it's just a song about Prince, which is, I mean, that's awesome.
It was prophetic, the song.
Yeah,
because Prince really did end up, you know.
If you listen really closely to Snow White, when the line is sang, you just hear, just really, really in the background. It's weird. It's weird. It's like the Ted Danson baby thing and Three Men and a Baby. All right, so Someday My Prince Will Come versus Baby Mine. I'm going to go first on this. Someday My Prince Will Come is my vote here. I've already said my emotional attachment to Baby Mine, but Someday My Prince Will Come, I think, is one of the quintessential Disney melodies. It makes me feel like I'm in Disney World when I hear it. It makes me think of being in the Magic Kingdom. So that aside, though, it's so perfect. It's such a perfect song. And what's her name? Adriana Casalotti has this unmatchable voice. I mean, just one of the most unique singing voices that we have on this entire list. Maybe the most unique. And I absolutely adore this song. My vote goes for Someday My Prince Will Come. Melissa, how about you?
I'm going to vote for Someday My Prince Will Come also. I do think it
Snap!
Is one of the, you know...
quintessential?
Yes. And like you said, her voice paired with the softness of the visuals, it's really a perfect pair.
Pears. I don't really eat pears. Weird.
I like pears.
Mm. Yeah. I think Charlie on Always Sunny in Philadelphia never ate a pear before, and he just ate the whole thing.
Oh. Well, yeah. You kind of can. They're not that. They don't have a huge
He
core.
Then ate a banana without peeling the banana.
Oh, well, that's an issue.
You know. Cause
did he eat peaches from a can?
I don't know. Peaches. That's a good question, though. Brian Bogad? If that
Either
is your name.
Don't. I'm going to go with Someday My Prince Will Come.
Oh, dear.
That's just, to me, a quintessential Disney song, and it's just, it's a perfect song. And like you said, her voice is amazing. And
yeah,
it's, you know, I had not watched Snow White in forever. And then when we watched it to review it and I heard that song, it was amazing. So I'm going to go with that.
Ryan, I mean, we kind of decided, I guess, because it got the first three, but where would your vote lie?
I'll make it unanimous. Yeah, it's the first song. It's the first real love song that Disney did in an animated feature. It's great. I love her voice. So, yeah.
On to the next round. So Someday My Prince Will Come moves on. On to the next round, we have Sleeping Beauty's Once Upon a Dream featuring Mary Costa and Bill Shirley. This is where Bill Shirley is. And going up against the prelim survivor of Candle on the Water, from Peach Dragon. Melissa, I'll just get you out of the way because I already know your answer.
Because it's the best.
Come speak.
It's Once Upon a Dream. I mean, okay. Just the, you know, I just love, like you said, like that over singing of the two of them. It has one of the best visuals, in my opinion, with the two of them dancing in the reflection of the lake. I mean, the visuals in Sleeping Beauty themselves are just gorgeous. And I love the way that he comes in the song when she thinks she's by herself. And then they just magically know the lyrics and flow together.
Nothing creepy about that.
Nope.
Just following a woman in the woods.
By the sound of her voice.
Yeah, typical Monday.
Yeah. Sounds like Cropsy, but fine. Yeah.
Later to be...
murdered.
Wonderfully...
reenacted?
I guess. And enchanted? We didn't put that on here.
Yeah, we didn't put that on here. That's that would have been a good one.
That would have been good.
Enchanted deserved a spot on here. It wouldn't have won, though. So.
No, it's okay.
But yeah. Enchanted.
Shout out.
Brian Bogad, how about you, sir?
I'm going to agree with Mel and go with the Sleeping Beauty.
Ryan Wilson?
Yeah, you put the, you know, Earl's backgrounds and you do the amazing artistic achievement that Sleeping Beauty was with these gorgeous voices. It's just one of the classic romantic scenes to think of.
I'm with that too. Yeah, Once Upon a Dream is one of my favorite songs. Again, that hauntingness that Mary Costa has in her voice is something that I've always been attracted to. I love it very, very much. And that would be my pick. Final of the first round, really, the official first round, is two huge Disney songs. Kiss the Girl from Little Mermaid. And I believe that's sung by Samuel Wright, correct? Or wrong?
Yes.
Samuel Wrong? As Sebastian, of course. And going up against Whole New World featuring Lea Salonga and Brad Kane, who is carried by Lea Salonga like Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. On her back. In a swamp. This is what happens. I'm going to go first on this one, if you guys don't mind. And I will go... Lea Salonga is going to win a lot of things for me. And Whole New World definitely topples Kiss the Girl for me without much of a fight. Ryan, how about you?
Yeah, Kiss the Girl is playful. It's fun. And it lives in that moment. But when I'm thinking of love ballads, and you have this duet again, and it's just so powerful in that moment. And yeah, she's carrying him through the entire song. A Whole New World.
Melissa?
Yeah, it's A Whole New World, 100%. I mean, this, to me, is one of the, you know, out of the new Renaissance era, the best duos that we have. And I absolutely love the imagery that goes with it. I don't think his voice is so terrible, but obviously she's much, you know, much above and beyond him. But yeah, one of the many songs my sister and I have sung together. I was the prince. But sure. It's okay.
Sure. Brian Bogad?
Well, I'll just make it a clean sweep and go with A Whole New World. It's one of my favorite scenes in the PhilharMagic. I love that.
Yes, little yes.
Scene at the end there. That's wonderful. And yeah, it's definitely my choice.
So Whole New World sets up a new world order.
If Kevin Nash sang that song,
oh my god,
that would have been epic.
God, he doesn't care about anything. It's so great. Man doesn't care about anything.
He's just making up for the fact that you're not putting in clips.
Yeah, yeah, no clips, guys. So we gotta sing. You get the New World Order theme.
That's the only thing you're gonna put in.
That's what I give you. There's gonna be that. That's it. Okay, now let's go into our second round, and this is going to be some tight arguments here. Maybe not the first one. Beauty and the Beast going up against I See the Light, not sung by Stevie Wonder. Because he is blind. You are blind as a bat, and I have sight. All right. Brian Bogad, where do you sit on the fence of love and lanterns?
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. One vote for that. Melissa?
I'm going to go with I Can See the Light.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it gets me more in the...
In the feels.
In the feels.
All right, great. Again. Ryan Wilson.
Oh, you know, I love both of these. And honestly, this could have been a final for me. Like, I love both these songs so much.
It could have been, yeah.
In another world, it could have been a finals.
A whole new world?
It could have been a whole new world.
New world order.
Whole new world order. If we had ordered these differently, we would have been. Why didn't we think of this yesterday afternoon? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know what, though? I can't. I love See the Light, but I can't pick against Beauty and the Beast. It's just too timeless.
Beauty and the Beast gets another vote. Is it down to me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, huh. It's Beauty and the Beast. It's Beauty and the Beast. But not without. I mean, I really can't say enough about that music, Entangled. It's really, really exceptional. It is absolutely exceptional. But Beauty and the Beast is...
more exceptional.
It is in a world of its own.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow, and you guys get mad at me.
That's because, well, I do it knowing it's not funny. You genuinely think it's funny.
Well, because when I do it, it's funny.
Okay. Well, opinions. Moving on... We have, this is good. This is Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules going up against Married Life from Up. Won't Say I'm in Love, I will say, is the dark horse thus far going in with this. Melissa, I'm going to go with you first on this because I feel like this is going to be a tough choice for you.
This is going to be tough. And because I do really like Married Life a lot, I do have a stronger connection, though, with Hercules, so I'm going to stick with Won't Say I'm in Love.
Won't Say I'm in Love. One vote. One. I don't know, actually. I will go with Married Life. This is that is my pick. I will not drag that out. I'm going to go with Married Life. When I Say I'm in Love, that was great, though. I remember... There was some things going on back when I was younger, and I listened to that song a lot for good reason. Ryan Wilson, where are you in Married Life versus admitting that you're in love?
You know, I've had some rotten judgment on some of these picks before, so I'll stick with it and say I won't say I'm in love.
Ooh. Oh, no. Brian Bogad. I want
to the phones.
If this, yeah, go to the phones.
Okay, I'm typing.
I want everyone involved. I want three votes counted on this one. I think this is important.
I haven't voted against Married Life yet, and I'm not going to start now.
Stop me now.
That's, you know, a good song, but I'm not voting against Married Life at this moment.
And yes, I know the lyrics of Don't Stop Me Now. Don't think I don't know Queen lyrics. I'm not a monster. My God.
Did you see that picture of Sebastian Stan?
Was he dressed like Freddie Mercury? Wait, was he dressed like Freddie Mercury? He kind of was dressed like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Why was he dressed like Freddie Mercury?
He's playing him in the biopic, maybe.
Yeah, aren't
is
they
he
doing
really?
The
no, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Oh, no, because I remember it was supposed to be Baron Sacha Cohen, but he wanted to do like a very, hey, let's do a realistic one on, you know, let's talk about the dark stuff, you know, and the members of Queen did not want to do that. It was just like, no, that I'm not going to do it. Like, he stuck to his guns, which I thought was really impressive because that probably would have been a really good paycheck. So, all right, we are going to go to our outside sources.
Did everybody vote?
Yeah, we're tied 2-2.
It's tied 2-2.
So we are going to go to the phones.
All right. I'm getting a couple.
What do we have? One, because I want all three of them.
All right. So Brittany is with me. She's and Ryan. She's won't say I'm in love.
Okay. Oh, man. So right now, won't say I'm in love is leading 3-2. Yeah, this is the Ichabod, maybe. This might be our icky.
Ichabod.
Let's talk about some things, guys. Let's talk about The Last Jedi. Just trying. I don't want to go. I don't want to pause. I just want to keep going.
I thought you had two answers already.
No, yeah, that. I do.
Oh.
I have Shaunine. She is loving. I won't say I'm in love, but so much fun.
What?
In I won't say I'm in love, but she's got to go with her heart. She's got to go with up.
Man, you read that really, really badly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was also... I was reading and talking at the same time.
And then okay. Reading and talking at the same time, also known as reading aloud?
Shh. You'll hush them out. All right, so it's up to Steph Moser.
It's down to Steph Moser. Moser, I swear to God.
Come on, Moser.
Oh, man.
This thing is rigged. Just like the Super Bowl last night, this is rigged.
What? No, Melissa's smiling.
I got it. All right. She also agrees. This is tough. She said, Married Life is good, and that's my all-time favorite Pixar movie. But
no!
Based on the idea of love, ballads having based lyrics, first love scores, she's going to say, what? I won't say I'm in love from Hercules.
Oh, heresy.
She's officially cut off from now on.
Heresy. Wait a minute. We already set up the rules. You don't need words.
Here, wait. She's got to follow.
True love doesn't need words. Love means never having to say you're sorry, which means that you just have a really dishonest relationship and you don't talk to each other much. It's probably a good way to go. It's probably
now you know how everyone felt out after Ichabod last time.
That's a good point. Strong point.
No, we were all on the side of Ichabod last time. Wait, that's why it doesn't feel the same.
She has more.
I still feel the same on this side. I don't know what anyone's talking about.
Oh, just okay. So I'm just going to back up. You know, Steph has some more stuff here. I feel like I should literally go punish myself for that answer. You should. You should. You're a bad person.
No, she is wonderful.
I'm sorry, Pete Doctor. Pete Doctor does not accept your apology. Either do I. I'm sorry, Michael Giacchino. He doesn't like you. Doesn't like you. I'm sorry, Academy. Oh, wait. All right. So fair is fair. We follow the rules. When I say I'm love, won't say I'm in love, moves on to get its crushed next round.
Yes, it does.
It's true, but I don't care. It's so good.
It's exactly like Ichabod last time.
I really would have liked to have seen the other matchup. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. Okay, moving on. We have This Is Love from Cinderella up against Someday My Prince Will Come, two of the classics. Sick track, bro.
Classic.
Sick, bro. I will once again throw my hat into the ring for Snow White, though. Someday My Prince Will Come. I absolutely adore that song. Melissa, you sound questioning, so why don't you go next?
I do, because as much as I like, it being the first love song, So This Is Love just is the more classic.
Okay.
And the melody of it is just so
melodic.
It's beautiful. And I like Eileen Woods' voice better.
All right. Well, I hope a ghost haunts you. Ryan Wilson.
I don't need the haunting, but I'm going to go ahead and go with So This Is Love. It's one of those songs that you can hear the humming in the background. I can hum it all day. You know, it's one of those love songs that sticks with you. It's that dreamy sequence that, like you were talking about earlier, they're singing over the characters as they're acting it out. So I'm going to give it to you. So This Is Love.
Brian Bogart, are we going to the phones again?
Yes, we are.
Someday
My Prince Will Come is yes. I don't know what is happening tonight.
Yeah, really.
I don't know what's going on.
It's the most competitive bracket.
In cahoots beforehand.
Cahoots. Cahoots, I say.
There was collusion going on.
Collusion. I think we used the word. I can't remember the word now. Ugh. We all use the word like four times.
Quintessential.
Yes, we use the word quintessential pretty much 8 times in 3 minutes. So that's awesome. It's, you know, terrible. If we were writing an essay, I'd be like, what is wrong with these people?
Ah.
Okay.
I think we already got it, but.
Okay.
We got from Steph, so this is love.
Nightmares, and all of them.
From Shaunine, this is love.
Oh, well, that does it then.
Yeah.
So this is love topples the greatest song of all time. So this is love beats out Someday My Prince Will Come.
And also just honorable mention, Britney also goes, so this is love.
All right. So this is love sweeps it. Okay. All right. So this is love moves on to the semis. To the semis with you, I say. And who shall it face? Well, none other than either Once Upon a Dream or the New World Order, also known as Whole New World. Due to the pain in her voice, I will go to Melissa first.
I gotta stop doing that.
Yeah.
It gives away.
You're a terrible poker player.
I am. That's why I didn't for play.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah. Know your strengths.
I really love A Whole New World. Out of the Renaissance era, that's my favorite.
Yeah. So does Eric Bischoff.
But I gotta stick with Once Upon a Dream. That's my
Once Upon a Dreams. One vote. Brian Bogad, I'm going to go to you next.
I guess I better agree with Melissa on one, or I'm going to, you know, catch some type of hate mail or something. So I will. I'm also going to go with Once Upon a Dream.
Ryan Wilson.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 3. There's very little to talk badly about Once Upon a Dream in my opinion. So they'll make it 3 votes.
Oh, OOAD sweeps it. It doesn't work very well as an acronym, guys.
No, tell you no. Right now.
OOAD. OOAD.
OOAD.
OOAD.
Too many vowels.
Yeah. Can I buy a tea? Huh? That's not how this game works. Don't tell me how it works. Pat. All right. Going back to our first semi. Ooh, I don't know where
these
this is going to go.
Are really tough.
Is it, though?
Well,
Beauty and the Beast versus Won't Say I'm in Love. Hey, guess what? Beauty and the Beast for me. Click. Melissa.
If I'm putting them up as love songs,
are absolutely putting them up as love songs.
That was the whole purpose of this list, Melissa. You've been doing it different. That explains a lot of things.
If you thought this was best tango. No,
you can't. You could probably tango to Once Upon a Dream, though. No, that's more of a waltz.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
All right, you know what? I'll skip you for
a moment. I was going to say my answer. Okay. Don't skip me. No, I was going to say I'm going to go with Beauty and the Beast, just because as much as I love Won't Say I'm in Love, the feeling of the song is so different, and the classicness of Beauty and the Beast. Also, it totally mirrors the end of Sleeping Beauty. So,
okay, let me ask you. We'll get to this in a second.
What?
No. I have a follow-up question, but I'll do it in a moment.
Okay.
Ryan Wilson.
Yes.
Which do you go with, Beauty and the Beast or Won't Say I'm in Love?
You know, I love a good underdog, but I'm not a monster, and it's Beauty and the Beast.
Brian?
You have to ask. Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Okay, now I want to do something different.
What?
Bapt. That's good. That works. Beauty and the Beast. Bapt.
Yeah.
Brian, Beauty and the Beast versus Married Life, what would you have gone with?
Oh. I still would have went with Beauty and the Beast.
Melissa? Okay.
No, I think Beauty and the Beast versus almost anything is going to be really hard to beat. So those two, either one gets Beauty and the Beast.
Ryan, same with you?
Yeah, I'd go with Beauty and the Beast.
Then I feel better. I would have won Beauty and the Beast too, probably. Anyways, semifinal number 2, Cinderella's This Is Love up against Once Upon a Dream. What? Heavyweights.
This is an old school throwdown.
Yeah, like Tesla. You know, Tesla University? Tesla? They got into the top one, but not down here.
Oh, it's Disneyland Disney World.
Oh, very true.
That's a good point.
That's right, yeah.
All right, I'm not going to let that influence. No influencing.
No. Yeah, that doesn't do it.
Ryan Wilson, you go first.
Oh, since I opened my big mouth?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I talked about it earlier. Cinderella is one of the first movies that I can ever remember watching from Disney. But there is literally – I'd be nitpicking hairs on Once Upon a Dream to pick anything against it. So Once Upon a Dream.
Once Upon a Dream, one vote. Brian Bogad.
I've got to agree with Ryan. Once Upon a Dream. It's out of all the classic Disney ones that we have watched, that has been my favorite song out of all of them.
Melissa Mignon Tadone.
This is why I didn't hyphenate. I'm going to stick with Once Upon a Dream. It's my favorite. And when I just hear those notes anytime it's in a Disney park, I get giddy because I do feel like it's underappreciated. And I cannot wait to go to Disneyland to see the castle.
Once Upon a Dream in a clean sweep. I am also with Once Upon a Dream. Giving us our finals matchup. I mean, this is a great matchup. Beauty and the Beast versus Once Upon a Dream.
And Beauty and the Beast stole the last shot from Sleeping Beauty, so I think we got to go with the classic. Just saying.
Can't argue that logic.
Nope. It's perfect.
Can't.
But you will.
Melissa.
Yeah.
You go first. I want everyone's vote on this. I want it to be through 7 people. Put it out now.
Okay.
How about while you do that, I'll go to somebody else. You want me to do that?
Okay.
Brian Bogad.
Well,
how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good,
good, good.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Kazoo tight.
I'm going to go with my favorite love song of all, which was Gaston.
Look, no, you know what?
Put that on the list first off. I don't remember who put it on the group.
I think it was Jennifer Vail.
I think it was, and that was actually real true.
She wasn't wrong. That was my response. You're not wrong.
No, but besides that song, I'm gonna go with Beauty and the Beast. It's my favorite Disney movie. That's my favorite Disney soundtrack. It's everything. And that song to me is the quintessential Disney love song, is Beauty and the Beast.
Melissa.
I use the word.
Quintessential. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Drink?
Everyone will be dead. Melissa, where about you? Where about you? Words. Don't worry about it.
I'm about here. I'm going to stick with Once Upon a Dream. It is one of my favorite ones ever. While I love Angela Lansbury, and I even do like the Celine Dion version, I really love Once Upon a Dream. It has all the components for me, and just the fact that, you know, Sleeping Beauty is my favorite. I got to stick with it.
1-1, and we go to Ryan Wilson.
Yeah, this is, again, I think this is what we talked about last time when we got down to the finals. It's splitting hairs between what's a perfect scene and what's a perfect scene.
Yeah, these are diamonds. Just diamonds.
Yeah. And so, I don't know what I could nitpick, but I'm going to go with Beauty and the Beast. I think it's just there's something in Angela Lansbury's voice that just makes me feel like, yes, I want to hear more of this story. Tell me this story, Angela. Like, you know, Mrs. Potts, tell me more of this. So it's gorgeous, and I'm just going to go with that.
I will definitely send us to the phones. It's obviously the movie Beauty and the Beast is far superior. But there is something about Once Upon a Dream. I remember when I started downloading Disney songs. I distinctly remember I was like, I got to make a Disney soundtrack. And I Wonder and Once Upon a Dream were the first two things that I seeked out before everything else. And I just think it's phenomenal. The animation dancing across the water, well, you know, with the reflection in the water, absolutely tops of the pops in my book. So I'm going to go with Once Upon a Dream. What do the people on the telephones say?
They've betrayed me.
Aww.
Every single one of them.
Oh, really?
And they all know me.
3 votes for Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
From Sean.
Good job, lady. Steph, you've redeemed
yourself.
My
own sister.
Wow.
Well, I won't. We won't go that far, but yeah. Yes. She can't change her vote because she's not hearing this yet, so that's great.
So, after a final tally of 7 voices when this show started with 4, Beauty and the Beast wins with a count of 5-2, winning our bracket of the best Disney love ballad. I mean, you can't argue with that result at all.
Yeah.
You cannot. I can't. No, you can't. Like, I understand, like, I did put my hat in the other boat, but there's just nothing wrong with that song. When it may be a little predictable, but sometimes predictable is right.
Yeah.
That just happens sometimes. So congratulations to Beauty and the Beast. You've won the real prize now. Us. Our support. And that's really what matters in this world.
Our recognition is what you really need.
Our recognition from a C-grade podcast.
I'm just happy Once Upon a Dream made it so far. I don't usually get much in the finals.
Yeah, no, that was great. I really, really enjoyed that, guys. I hope you enjoyed that as well. I will attempt to put a bracket that I can share with everyone together. I'll do that. God, it's going to take forever. Someone else may have to do that, actually. I don't know if I'll have time because I got to pack. I got to pack and stuff, and I got to edit the show. So I'm busy. But we will get you up. You should have already had. This is all happening. This all happened already for you. This is a few. I'm in the past. I'm John Connor trying to save Terminators. Right? Is that?
Yes.
Is that what the last one ended? You know what? Whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. Bring out another movie. Who cares? James Cameron. James Cameron finally wrote some scripts, evidently. Avatar, a lot of them. And Avatar is going to open in May, it looks like. So Avatar Land, Pandora, the Land of Pandora. So very excited about that. I had a lot of fun here tonight. I hope everyone had a good time. Did everyone have a good time?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. No, I did. I had a good time. And just again, thank you for Steph, Britt, and Shawnee for helping us out.
Yes. And on the next show, we will be employing one of you as a fifth voice to have right there on the spot. Johnny on the spot, as it were. So thank you all so much for tuning in this week. But we have a little more to say. Ryan.
Yes.
Where can everyone find the Main Street Gazette on the interwebs?
They can find the site at mainstgazette.com, on Twitter and Instagram at mainstgazette, and if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you'll find us there too.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Brian, you are the Facebook man.
Yeah, what? Just look for me in the Disney Magic Hour group. If you haven't joined, join us there.
Join us.
Yes, join us. One of us.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble. One of us. One of us. If you've never seen Tom Browning's Freaks, you're missing out. You're missing out. You're missing out on nightmares, but you're missing out still. Guess what was happening this whole time? This episode of Disney Magic Hour was actually brought to you by MEI Travel. Head on over to meitravel.com. Becky and her team can get you started on your trip to a whole new world order. And multiple other places that you can find things to fly upon. You can even just book a flight, and then it'll kind of take care of it for you. You don't need magic. So you should do that. It's probably safer. Don't go looking in caves for rugs. It doesn't work out very well usually. I've played Tomb Raider. I've seen what happens in caves. There's wolves in caves. Don't go there. Get in touch with Sharla M. at mei-travel.com and put your name on the list for our Halloween Horror Nights event, get together, whatever you want to call it, happening October 29th to the 31st. Huge details coming up very soon towards that. Limited capability, probably only about 20 people. And guess what? It's more than halfway filled. So get on that if you want to be part of the group.
Yeah, book a room, guarantee your spot.
Yep, book a room one single night at the Universal Studios is all it needs. So head on over there. We hope to see as many of you as possible. We're really excited. We also have our Disneyland trip coming up December 3rd.
Yep, correct?
To the 10th. And you can also book that through Sharla if you want to join us. We already have a couple of people joining us for that. We have a nice group already joining us for Halloween Horror Nights. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. I hope you make it. Oh, and I have news about the Disneyland trip too that I can't get into that yet either. But we've got to get the whole Halloween thing announced first, and then we'll do the Disneyland thing. So Till next time, right now you are listening to There You Are from Pogo. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We are on Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. Find the group, add the group to you, and then add your friends to said group. We are located on iTunes, Google Play Music, and you can find all of our episodes, past and present, over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. If you go to iTunes and give a 5-star review, Mel will read it on the air. If there's anyone new this week, we'll get to it next week. And where can everyone find Instagram for us?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Shazam. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Pete. Goodnight, Jasper. Say goodnight, Pogo. See you later, guys. I just found the keys to a city that beats a baby.